Does anybody know what tonight is, what we're going to do? Holy Ghost night. It's Holy Ghost service. And so we're going to, in fact, if I could get a couple of the ushers or somebody, just if you could get this microphone stand and this microphone stand and just kind of place it there close to that aisle there, Philip, and close to that aisle, that's good. So we're gonna allow God to move, and He's gonna not just move through me, amen. But I'm gonna give some instruction, and we're just gonna teach some out of the Word, and we're just gonna have a good time. Are you expecting? I said, are you expecting? I mean, God moves where we expect. If we're expecting from Him, then He doesn't disappoint us. If we expect from men, then men disappoint us, but God won't disappoint us. Amen? Okay, so I want to tell you a little funny. Is that all right? I'm going to do it anyway, so. An old pastor lay dying, and he sent a message for an Internal Revenue Service agent and his lawyer to come to the hospital. When they arrived, they were ushered up to his room. As they entered the room, he held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on each side of the bed. The pastor grasped their hands and he sighed contentedly, smiled and stared at the ceiling. For a time, no one said anything. Both the IRS agent and the lawyer were very touched and flattered that the old man would ask him to be with him during his final moments. But they were both puzzled because he had never given any indication that he particularly liked either one of them. Finally, the lawyer asked, "Pastor, why did you ask the two of us to come here?" The old pastor mustered up enough strength and said weakly, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's the way I want to go too." Oh, Jesus. All right. look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, and that word gifts is italicized, which means it's just help. It could include gifts. It doesn't not only gifts alone, but concerning spiritual things or spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And I don't know a subject in the church world today that we're more ignorant about is the gifts of the Spirit, or we're scared to death of them. And it's time that we learn as a church body to function and flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And not only in the corporate services, but in our daily walk with God. And as I've shared with you before, that it's in the hour that we live, it is essential that we learn to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because that's, besides the preaching of the gospel that will save people and deliver people from the types of things that happened in Boston recently and, you know, 9/11 and all these things, it's you and I, people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, listening to the Holy Ghost, because He will not only, John 16:13-14, He will not only show us things to come that are good, okay? He can show us deals. How many of you know there are deals He has for you? Financial deals. Okay, but He'll also show us things that the enemy's trying to do. And if we'll learn to listen, okay, then we could at least be as sensitive as the animals in the tsunami who followed their instincts and went to higher ground. There were very few animals who were killed in the tsunami. Did you know that? Because they listen, they follow their instincts. Look, if we would follow the Holy Ghost, that's our answer. That's the way we avert the danger, that's how Psalm 91 comes to pass in our lives. Is where we see 1,000 fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it doesn't come near us. Why is that so? Because we're people filled with the Holy Ghost. And we listen to Him and follow Him and move with Him. And so it's important, though, that we not be, when God said, don't be ignorant here, then He spends three chapters de-ignorantizing us. My word, but yeah. I mean, He's telling us, don't be ignorant. Then He spends three chapters telling us how not to be ignorant, right? And but we, this is for today. I said, this is for us today. And so, people that read chapter 13 where it says that love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they'll fail. Where there's tongues, they'll cease. And knowledge, it will vanish away. And they see there that all these gifts are going to vanish away. And when that, later it says, when that which is perfect is come, then we won't need all this. Well, that which is perfect is come. Some people say it's the Bible. Okay, when the Bible was complete, we won't need that anymore. Well, if that was true, why would in the next chapter He give us instruction about how to operate in these things that were supposed to pass away? Come on, guys. No, He's given us instruction about how to operate in these things. So tonight, this is Holy Ghost night. I don't have any plan except just to let Him move. And I mean, I'm going to follow Him myself. I'm going to let, we're going to allow the Spirit of God to move through you. And I just believe if we do it, things will happen. God will change people's lives. There'll be healing. There'll be salvation. There'll be everything that God wants to happen. Amen? And when we follow the Holy Spirit. So look at chapter 14. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, have we come together? Are we together? Hallelujah. Oh, amen. We're together. Each of you. Who would that include? Who does that include? Let me see who it includes. Have we come together? So each of us has, say I have, something to give. Each of you has either a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done to edification. And then, so, then he begins in verse 27, which we'll read verse 27 through verse 35 in just a moment. But before I do that, he's making two points to cover two points of a theme of chapter 14. And the theme of chapter 14, when he's instructing us about the gifts of the Spirit, how things are supposed to function, when each one of us has something, he's telling us that you can find two themes throughout the chapter. One is edification. Everybody say edification. Number two is order. Let all things be done decently in order. You just read this. Let it be done unto edification. Now, what does edification mean? That means that whatever you share, you're doing for the benefit of others, not moi. Not you. If it centers around you, it doesn't edify anybody. You cannot bless those you're trying to impress. You cannot bless those you're trying to impress. And so if you get up and say something and it draws attention to you, it's not in line with, it's not part of what you're not giving anything. You're taking away. Are you listening to me? In fact, chapter 12, verse 3 talks about the fact that, you know, Jesus must be the center of everything that the Holy Spirit does. And so I'm telling you that up front to set some guidelines that, you know, we're going to allow some people to share if you've got something on your heart. But you have to circumcise your heart before you even get up and speak, that you're only going to say something that you feel like the Holy Spirit is leading you to say that will benefit someone else, not just talk about you. And if you stand up here and start talking about you, I'm going to shut you down. I don't need to hear about you. You wouldn't do that, Pastor Greg, would you? I will. Absolutely will. Just watch and see. No, you know, it's like, well, okay, well, now everybody's scared to death. They're not going to get up here. No, I'm persuaded better things of you than that. But, here's the reason we don't have a move of the Spirit, because most pastors are scared to death to correct people. Look, if you're going to have a move of the Spirit, you must be willing to lose people. I don't want people to leave. That's not what I'm saying. But you must be willing. You have to have some spiritual testosterone. Okay? You must be willing to say, wait a minute now, brother. Wait a minute, sister. Hold on. That doesn't line up with the Word. You're just saying stuff. You know, and I mean, I could tell you lots of stories. I'll tell you a couple. We had a gal one time. I've probably told you this before about my little dancer. Okay. I had my little dancer, and about a certain time in the service, you know, she had a long flowing dress, and then she would just do this down to front, and she'd close her eyes. And I mean, the first time it was, you know, it was pretty cool. I mean, she was closing her eyes and, am I doing okay? And she was just doing this number, you know, and flowing around the front. And, you know, hey, the first service, that was okay. The second service, here she comes again, about the second or third song. And now I'm thinking, you know, I don't like this so much. And then third service, she does it again, same station, same tune, everything. I mean, she gets up and she does it again. So we got with our little dancer, and we said, listen, I have no problem with you dancing unto the Lord and knowing that you're worshiping God and all that, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do, because, you know, my worship team is watching you. Everybody's watching you. You're the show. Our attention isn't drawn to the Lord anymore. And so, what I'm going to ask you to do, just you know, flit and flirl and everything else back in the back. Well, she got offended, and guess what she did? She left. You know, I mean, I didn't want her to leave, you know. And then we had Miss Huckabuck. Have you ever met Miss Huckabuck? Miss Huckabuck would get with all of my new people, all right, after the service. And she'd get with guest speakers. I mean, she'd get with Andrew and everybody. And then she'd come up right after the service. I mean, every service. And she said, could I pray for you? Well, what are they going to say? You know, stand up, Robert. And what are they going to say? Not, well, sure, you know. Well, then she'd close her eyes and she go, Puya si ka ya moku, iya hana ha boye, nga handi, ishama ha. Well, this guy, he's looking for the exit. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating very much. And she'd do about 5 minutes of that, and I mean, we never saw them again. And then she finally get to a word, and she really had a good word at what she shared. So, you know, my wife and I got with her, and we said, listen, we know that you really have some things to share, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to huck a buck on a new person again. Now, what do you have to do as a pastor to be willing to lead her, to correct her? What do you have to do? You have to be willing to what? Lose them. Okay. I didn't want to lose her. That wasn't the point. Her husband became my best friend, by the way, because he didn't have a clue. He didn't know what to do with her. Miss Huckabuck, I mean, she was just, You know, I affectionately called her and her friends like that, you know, candlesticks. They would flare, you know, whenever they wanted to. And so, no, I got with her, and she, oh, man, Janice and I got with her, and she's bawled like a baby. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. And I said, no, ma'am, you're quenching the Holy Spirit. And I don't want you to get with new people anymore. You're not going to huckabuck on them anymore. Or my guest speakers. I mean, she's doing that to Andrew one day, and he's looking at me, Greg, what's the deal with this girl? And, you know, but, you know, to her credit, she stayed. Because, you know, and her husband, like I said, man, he was my buddy after that, because we led her and told her, look, no, you're not going to do it that way. And if you feel like you need to get with anybody, we're going to get together and we're going to judge it. We're going to have somebody judge it. The prophecy is to be judged. How can it be judged if there's nobody there to help judge it? Yeah. And so all I'm doing is telling you, we set things in order like that. If things started to draw attention to, you know, to themselves, then we're going to deal with it. But we want, how many of you want to move of the Spirit? And so, but it takes strong leadership like we have here at Calvary in order to have a move of the Spirit. And we will have a move of the Spirit. Amen. And then So he says, each one of us has, but now look, he's giving you an exhortation or really a command here. Let everything that you do with what you share, make sure that it edifies somebody else besides you. And so you have to circumcise your heart from the will of the flesh, just wanting attention. Yeah? It's got to be, you got to go through this process. There's lots of times I get things from the Lord that I could share in a public setting, but I wait. I go through this process to make sure before I share it, listen, is this going to edify somebody or am I just trying to impress somebody that I know something? Then the second thing is order. Everybody say order. Now, I do want to teach a little bit here before we release, but we're going to release the gifts. But I do want to teach something here that will be very liberating, especially for women. Is that okay? In the context of these two things, edification and order. Look at verse 27. Now he's going to talk about order here and how the gifts are to operate. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let it be two or at the most by three. And in turn, and let one interpret. In other words, no competitive interpretation. Okay, so and then here's the other thing. When it comes to like prophecies in a particular part of the service, if you have more than three, the message gets lost. Because I don't know about you, I can't assimilate more than three. Are you hearing me? And so he's just trying to keep order here. It's nothing like, no legalistic point here. And then, but if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself or to God. Well, how would you know if there's an interpreter? Well, you might not. But, you know, if you're going to step out in the gifts, then the Bible says, if you look back up in the chapter, it says, if you speak in a tongue, pray that you interpret. So just, you know, take your toddler pants off, put your big boy pants on, step up to the plate and interpret that baby. Don't be speaking out in tongues if you're not going to interpret the thing. Amen? That's what he's saying there. So then verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything be revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. So you know what he's telling us there? No one person dominating. You know how it is in small groups? You always got Miss Dominator. Man, you got it. What do you have to do with Miss Dominator or Mr. Dominator? What do you have to do, leaders? You take your dress off, throw your purse away, put your big boy pants on, and lead that person and tell that person you're not going to make comments about everything. Now, after this, nobody's going to want to say anything, right? No, that's not true. That's not true. But I'm just telling you, you don't, look, it's not a free-for-all, okay? But we can have the move of the Spirit and it can be in order. What's he saying? You don't have the final word on anything. And you're not the one that's going to dominate the floor. You're not going to have something to say about everything. Amen? And if you're involved in a small group, you've got to be a strong leader, and you've got to ask Mr. or Miss Dominator, look, you got 2 minutes, 2 minutes. That's all you've got, and that's all you're going to say. And I don't want you speaking every time there's an opening, you saying something. Now, this will help you, some of you later on in ministry, but that's order. Everybody say order. For you can all prophesy one by one that you may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So what does that mean? That means you can control yourself. That's what it means. Amen? God doesn't just grab your mouth and make you talk. You can control yourself. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, here, this is a verse that people have just taken way out of context, and I've heard very few people teach on this in a way that really is liberating. Remember, we're talking about order. Everybody say order. So let your women keep silent in the churches, and then boom, they stop there. Like John Osteen used to say, you know, try that one on for size. Let your women keep silent in the churches, right. And then so they don't let women in many denominations even get up on a platform and speak, but they'll let them pastor churches on the mission field or go back and teach our children. Yeah? Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak. For they're to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's shameful for women to speak in the church. And all the men said, you bunch of wimps. No, we don't even know what that means. Why did he even bring that up in the context of order? Because, first of all, here's the liberating word. He is not talking to all women. He's talking to women who have husbands. What would those women be? Wives. Man, you guys are smart. Pastor, I'm telling you, you've raised a smart group of people here. They're wives. Who is he talking to here? Wives. He's talking to women who have husbands. Yeah? And he said, look, if you got questions, don't ask a question or make a comment about the elephant in the room sitting right next to you. I have a friend, you know, like this, and this has happened. I know not here, it did in my church. Pastor, I have a friend who has this problem with her husband. And everybody knew it was her husband right next to her. Or ask a question to try to straighten her husband out. Remember, what are the two themes of 1 Corinthians 14? What are they? Edification and what? Order. You know what he's saying? That's out of order. And then in 1 Timothy, he's saying, I do not allow 1 Timothy 2, I do not allow a woman to teach, nor usurp authority. Okay, he's talking about, and then he goes on to talk about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were what? Husband and wife. He's talking about husband and wife relationship. He's saying, listen, I do not allow a woman to use her gift to usurp authority, her gift to teach, to usurp authority over her husband in the home. It's exactly what he's talking about here. He's not talking about, you know, all women have to shut up. He's saying women who have husbands, which would be who? Wives, he's saying, do not ask questions to shame your husband into obedience or try to straighten him out, nor use the gift of teaching that you would have to teach and try to straighten your husband out. Out of order. Out of order. See, the context is order, right? Edification and order. And he's telling you here, wives, not all women, wives, it is out of order for you to use your gift to try to straighten your husband out or ask questions to embarrass him or try to get your pastor to straighten your husband out. You go ask him at home. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Now that is a liberating truth, guys. That is totally liberating for the female sector in here. Amen. He's talking to wives and he's telling them the points of order and he's telling them what's out of order. Now, have you ever experienced any of those things? Maybe in a smaller setting or whatever. And, you know, no, listen, my wife, precious wife here, she knows the worst about me, but you'll never know it. You would never know it, not from her. You might from me, but you won't know from her. And she's a blessing. So everyone, each of us has, and then the things that we have, we want to share, but it's got to be for two things. It's got to be it's got to edify other people, right? And it's got to be in order. Okay, in other words, you know, sometimes there's words, there's ministry, and then somebody just comes up and says something just doesn't even fit in the flow of what's going on. I mean, could you even think about does what you have to say fit with what's going on in the church? Does it flow, or you just want to say something? Are you with me? And so I want to help you here, okay? Because I have a passion for the move of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and I want to release the gifts. I want to see them released in the body of Christ like never before. But we need to teach these things. And you who are called to teach and to pastor, you need to teach. When he said, don't be ignorant about spiritual things, and then he spends three chapters to de-ignorantize us or to give us knowledge about these things, that we ought to teach them. Amen? So I've just kind of given you, you know, a brief summary of these things, and I want, how many of you desire the gifts of the Spirit? Okay, a couple more things, and then we're just let the Spirit of God move. Is that all right? I've shared this before with you, but we need to learn about the flow of the Spirit, how He flows. Because Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Spirit. So He likens the Spirit to the flow like streams of rivers that flow out of us, right? So there are different flows of the Spirit. When He said, in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, He didn't say He's going to pour out His Spirit. He said He's going to pour out of. Who are the vessels He pours out of? It's me. Say it's me. He's going to pour out of. When you guys go out on soul winning, you need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because he'll show you what needs there are in people, and he'll teach you what to say. He'll give you words to say. He'll give you words of knowledge about people. You can do prophetic evangelism, man. It's just awesome when you learn to follow the flow of the Spirit. And so there's two primary flows of the Spirit, okay? And it's, first of all, is the flow of love. It's a flow of compassion. All right? Jesus was moved with compassion. And so have you ever had compassion for someone specifically? Has that ever happened in you, that compassion was rose up in you towards someone? Listen, the Bible says, desire spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:31, desire spiritual gifts, yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way than what? Than just desiring them. And then goes into chapter 13, talks about love. Then in chapter 14, verse 1, he said, pursue love. Well, let me just read it. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Which one's first? Love. So there's the first flow that you want to follow if you want to see the gifts manifest is the flow of love. And if you follow the flow of love, then you're going to see ministry happen in the lives of people. I remember one time I was just driving down the street, and this guy that I'd been discipling in the church, I was driving by the family where he was at, staying, and I just decided I'd stop in and see him. His name was James, and I didn't even know if he'd be there. And I pulled in and I started talking to him a little bit, and then I looked, I just noticed in the background that this little old lady was bowed down as she was walking like from the kitchen to another room, and she was just you could tell she was in pain and she was suffering and she was bowed over. And man, I said, James, who is that? And I mean, I just had such compassion, Dan, for her. And I said, who's that? He said, well, that's my Aunt Geneva. And I said, well, can I pray? Can we pray for her? He said, well, I guess. I don't know. She's Fundamental Baptist. I think she believes in prayer. So I just went and met her, and James said, this is my preacher. Aunt Geneva, he wants to pray for you. And oh, how are you, Sonny? It's good to see you. And I said, well, could you believe in prayer? Oh yeah, I believe in prayer. And I said, well, could I pray for you? And she said, oh yeah. And so I said, do you believe that God will heal you? Well, I know if He wants to, He will. I said, well, I've come to tell you He wants to. And so, man, I prayed for her for healing. And I'm telling you, man, it was like electric. It was such compassion flowing out of me. It was like an electric shock. Went right into her. Man, woo! She jumped up. She said, wow, that's a mighty powerful prayer there, Sonny. And then, you know, so she stood up a little straighter. And then after I was following that, Then came words of knowledge. I said, you know, boy, you're just all bowed down because you're depressed. And you've got a family member that you've been out of relationship with, and she starts crying like a baby, and I think it was her daughter and her granddaughter she hadn't seen in 2 years. And, man, she's just crying. I said, well, let's believe God, and we'll pray that they'll come back, and God's going to heal your heart. Man, boy, she got blessed again. Listen, guys, when you follow that flow of love, words of knowledge will come. Things will happen. Amen. The flow of the Spirit. We need to learn to follow that. Then there's the flow of light. The flow of light. And that's just revelation. You don't know why. You don't even know. You don't always know what. You may not even have compassion. But you just have this. You know, it was like this morning. And I hope I didn't embarrass Lauren. But it was just like a beam of light. I just saw something over her, and so I just follow that, and you follow that, and if you'll follow that flow of light, things will happen. Amen. God will move. What is your name, sir? Right here, Daniel. Won't you stand up, Daniel? I mean, I just see, Daniel, the hand of God on your life. And I see, and you know, we could say this about any of us because we've all been through stuff, but you've really been through some challenging situations. But I just want you to know, like the disciples in the boat who were in the midst of a storm, okay? You thought you're going down, but I'm telling you, you're going to the other side, Daniel. And on the other side, there's miracles, signs, and wonders, and ministry opportunities for you. You're not going down, and you're not out. You might have been down on the mat, but you're not out. And God's taken you to the other side. And I don't know what the other side is for you, but you had a dream in your heart, and you had a vision in your heart, and people and circumstances in life, and even some decisions that you made on your own have kind of, you know, you felt like, well, this is over, but I'm telling you, the deal's still on. Amen? The deal's still on for you, Daniel. What God spoke to you, He's not taking it back. He's going to fulfill it. It may come a different way than what you thought, but you keep your eyes on the Lord. You're going to the other side, and God's going to do awesome things in and through your life. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so you just follow that light. See, I was led to Him and just by light, and I didn't know what to say till I got there. You know what I'm saying? But when we step out, then God's able to move and people get healed, people get set free. Okay, was there anything about that helped you, Daniel? Okay, are you going to the other side? Amen. Have you been through some challenging things that tried to dash your dreams? Okay, you're going to the other side, brother. And let me tell you one other thing, okay, is that your connection with this body is a big part of you going to the other side, because God, there's a supply of God's grace right here for you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's just lift our hands and thank Him. Father, we thank You for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We thank You, Father, for the move of the Spirit in and through us, Lord. We want to tell You, Lord, we want the move of the Holy Ghost. Father, we want gifts, signs, wonders, miracles. Hallelujah. And we're available. We are available for You to flow through us, move through us, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. So if you have something and you want to share it, I mean, we're just gonna let God move. We're gonna let Him flow. Amen. And look, I'm gonna judge it if it didn't line up with the Word, or you know, so hopefully I've put the fear of God in you, but I don't want to scare you off from speaking what you have in your heart. Amen. I want you to share, but you know, it's got to be, like, again, it's got to flow. It's got to be edification and what? Order. So, I mean, there's responsibility there, isn't it? To make sure, is this going to bless somebody? And that's what I always want to leave people, Wayne, better off than when I found them. You know, so one thing about Wayne is, man, he's just a blessing wherever he goes. I mean, he's always blessing somebody else, always thinking about somebody else. And I'm telling you, Wayne, God's going to use you in greater ways in ministry. Now you've always been a blessing. You're an encourager. You know, you're a giver. All kinds of things. You freely share your resources. But in this season of your life, there are things God's going to show you. There are prophetic things in you, Wayne, that, you know, just like God spoke to you about the roof over this house. See, that wasn't just a one-time thing. That did happen one time. But God's got things like that in you that are very powerfully prophetic. And sometimes, because you don't have a, your primary gift isn't a teaching gift like others, though you can teach, but you sell yourself short sometimes. And I'm just telling you that words that God gives you, we need. The body of Christ needs. And you be faithful to share those words. Amen? Father, I just agree with Wayne in the name of Jesus. Father, that he value the words that you're giving him. Lord, those prophetic things, those things that he sees, you're a seer, Wayne. You see things. And God's built awesome things through you because you saw it in your spirit. And you're going to see things. And I release you in the name of Jesus to share those things as you see them and value what you've got to say. Put confidence in the Word of God in you, because it'll set people free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man. Boy, God's good, isn't he? Well, I love this. I just love letting God move. Isn't it awesome? So we just follow the flow. Just follow Him. Amen? Just follow Him. Say, follow Him. I'm following you, Lord. Where you go, where you're flowing, that's where I'm going. I'm yielding to you. It's just about yielding, guys, more than anything else. It's just about yielding to Him. Just yielding to Him. Amen. Putting your flesh down, yielding to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Debbie, you had something this morning. Why don't you come up and share it real quick?
Well,
is that on?
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Thinking about going, take it off. Think about going to the other side. I've been reading that story about Jesus getting in the boat and going to the other side and meeting the crazy man of Gadara. But I had never seen this story in this light when I read it one day, because we've heard lots of ministry about, you know, Jesus going to the other side and delivering the man. But it just struck me, the love of God that God had for this one man that was totally insane, where you know his family had rejected him, where you know that the town didn't want anything to do with him, and yet God loved him enough to take his disciples and get them through a storm to get them to the other side, to a man that it said would go through the tombs shrieking. And if you've ever heard anybody demon-possessed, it can make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And he was cutting himself, and he was breaking his chains. But God loved him so much that he went after that one man through a storm to set him free. And then later he asked if he could go with Jesus, and Jesus said no. You go back to your family. So what Jesus was after was that one man. He's willing to leave the 99 and go after the one, because he's after household salvation.
Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Yeah, he's willing. See, he's willing to lead us even through a storm to reach other people. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Good word. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you. This is your night, Lord, and you're going to move. You are moving, Father, in and through your people. Just pray in the Holy Ghost just a minute. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Holy Ghost, have your way. Have your way in us. Speak to us and speak through us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've got something, just lift your hand. If you've got something, if God, while we were praying there, or you had something in your heart, just lift your hand. I will let you share. Not everybody all at once. Okay, come on right here.
I believe this is a word for our friend Sarah that's sitting right next to me. This was an encouraging word rolling inside of me earlier today, so I believe this is a great opportunity to share this with her. But Sarah, I just want to speak to you that you are not in the shadows of your husband Troy, who is such an awesome blessing to the body of Christ, but the two of y'all together is a mighty powerful force for the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you that maybe, you know, you have that sweet, quiet spirit, but just be encouraged that you're not in the shadows. You're not forgotten. The two of you together is stronger than you separate or Troy separate. And, you know, as the word says, one can put 1,000 to flight, but the two of y'all put 10,000 to flight. And you don't have to have the same personality or the same gifts as Troy, but y'all two together are an awesome, powerful force for the kingdom of God. So just be encouraged, sweetie. Okay.
Amen. Good word. Praise God. Good word, man. I'm thankful for my wife, and that she didn't, you know, feel like that she has to compete with me, you know, for the microphone and all that. I mean, I'm thankful, aren't you? Well, we need, man. That's awesome, Troy. God's given you an awesome wife. Father, we just bless Sarah in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks for her. And Lord, you said to platform, Father, and recognize those who are behind the scenes, and so that there would be no division in the body. And you just platform one of your precious gifts. And we just bless Sarah, Father. And we want to thank you for strengthening her. We want to thank you for using her. Father, you're going to reveal things to her, minister healing through her. Lord, we just release the gift of God and the promise of God in and through her life. And Lord, there's just going to be awesome things happen through her ministry and through their ministry together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you put confidence, Sarah, in the gift of God in you, okay? And God's going to show you things. Like my little wife, she'll come to me, she'll say, now, you know, God's told me to buy toilet paper and a roast and light bulbs for somebody, you know, and this maybe some wealthy person or something. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. You know, of course, it's got to be a certain brand of everything, you know, and she goes over there and so she takes it over there and they go, oh, how did you know I needed all this stuff, you know? Well, I see God doing things, really giving you very clear, specific directives, okay, that God, he's going to show you people that need the love of God. He's going to show you people that need to be touched. He's going to show you tangible ways for you to minister to them. And the Lord has need of you. Amen? And your gifts are awesome. That was awesome. Praise God. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Now, you know, it is appropriate to have a word for somebody individually. But publicly, it's not appropriate for you to have a word of correction for somebody. Okay? Encouragement's okay. You can go behind the scenes if you feel like you need to do that. Or I'll correct you if you do that. I just want you to know. I'm just saying. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gifts in the body. Hallelujah. Who else had their hand up here? Okay, come on, brother. Yeah, just take the mic.
Christina, the next 2 months should be interesting. Get back with me in 60 days and tell me if I'm right or not.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Back up. Okay, you're not done. Okay, just step out there, and finish that word. Okay, give some elaboration about the 60 days and
what you've gone about things properly. You've not pushed God. You've not tried to force the key in the lock. And God has seen that. He is faithful. He's not unmindful of your works. He's seen you in the quiet times. He's seen you making the difficult decisions, the decisions when nobody is looking. And he has, you fall into the category of that, like Esther. It's the victories in the quiet time when nobody is looking that will put you on the public stage.
Amen.
It Amen. Is. And it's a matter of character. It's a matter of integrity, and foremost, it's a matter of loving God in the quiet times. Amen. When nobody is looking.
Amen. Good word, Randy. Amen. Good word. Hallelujah. Amen. See, now we needed that. You got to use your faith and step out there, and because many times there's more things, and so the Lord sees you, Christina, as Esther, and then what you do in quiet times are the things that are going to promote you to the stage he has for you. Amen? Wow, good word. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did you have something, Glenn? This is good stuff, isn't it?
I've actually been asking the Lord to give me an opportunity to share what I'm about to share now. First, I just want to say, I believe this is just an encouraging word for this body of believers here at our church. And I just want to say, and I know many of you feel the same way, just how amazing it has been to see what God has begun to do in this body of believers with the outreach, and how just what a shot in the arm it has been for us to go out and to begin to minister to people, go to them outside of the walls of the church, go to them, compel them to come, bring them in, and now begin to disciple them. I think it's been great. I think about Easter Sunday, and it was awesome to just see. I loved how messy church was that morning. It was orderly, but it was messy, and I loved it. It was shaking things up. It was different. People, this one guy, this one kid, he walks in, you know, his pants are down to here, and he's got his headphones in, and he's just, you know, rocking out to his music. And I even heard the rumblings that some people were complaining when the line wasn't moving fast enough, you know, and I think that maybe rattled some people. But I thought it was great. I thought, man, what an opportunity for us to begin to connect with people and teach them about the importance of being thankful. And, you know, like, instead of looking at it like, well, gosh, that's not how we planned it to be. You know, what a great opportunity. But I feel like what the Lord is telling us as a body of believers here is that maybe the next phase of this ministry is for us to begin to connect with the people, the new people that are here, in ways beyond just, I think we have to be careful not to talk about them like they're not in the room, but that we've got to begin to connect with them. Here's the deal. Pastor Greg, if you were to come to my house and knock on the door and you were to say, Glenn, I need to borrow a cup of sugar to, you know, to finish up the cookies I'm baking, you know, I wouldn't think anything of it because you're my friend. I would just give you whatever you need. And I think sometimes the temptation is to think, well, I think some of these folks are coming for the handout or whatever. And the Lord has been showing me that if we can get to the place where we begin to connect and we begin to see them as our friends, then it's no longer a handout. You know, Pastor Greg, it wouldn't be a handout to you if I gave you the cup of sugar. You're my friend, you know. And I feel like we've reached a place where it's time for us to begin to connect, because discipleship, I think, is going to take place not just within the context of the big room here. I think discipleship is going to start taking place at lunch after church, as we begin to, you know, as we begin to invite people to Conquerors Club, or as we begin to invite them to our house, people, new people in our church. We begin to see them as brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, and we begin to connect with them. You know, I think what the Lord is showing me is that, you know, it's not so much that Christians don't care about the poor. Quite frankly, it's just we really don't know any. And I think we've just got to get to the place where we begin to connect with people that are different from us, that come from a different point of view, a different life than us, and we begin to befriend them and show ourselves friendly. And I believe that connection is going to be the next step in this outreach, that it's going to be community. And it didn't matter whether they come to church on a bus, whether they come to church in a car, or whether they walk. They're our brothers and sisters, and we're going to connect. We're going to invite them to lunch. We're going to begin to disciple them. We're going to begin to love them, reach out to them. Just like Jesus said, we're going to give to everyone who asks of us. Just like John the Baptist said when he was baptizing people, and he said, listen, he simplified it. He said, look, if you've got two shirts, give somebody one of them, and do the same thing with your food. Just begin to meet the needs of people. And that's just what I hear the Lord saying. It's a good thing. What is going on is a good thing. And I just feel like the Lord is going to take us to a different place through this, and we're going to be able to help and bless a lot of people.
Wow. Wow. If wow. I mean, if this whole thing, if God led me to have a Holy Ghost service just for that. Listen, guys, that was God. Are you hearing me? Wait a minute. I know you recognize that. But when I'm saying that is God, I'm saying that is God for this body, and we've got to do something about that. It's not enough to hear that, and I'm telling you, if we didn't do, if the only reason, and it's not, but if the only reason the Lord led me to do that, that was God speaking a word, a prophetic word to this body about where we are as a body. Are you listening to me? That means, guys, part, and it ties in with my message this morning about just doing what He tells us to do. Listen, what the Lord's saying is I want you to go through the storm of even the mess, and I want you to disciple that person. I want you to climb into their lives, and they smell different, or maybe they whatever. And you know what I would do if I were the pastor here, because I've done it where I pastored, is I ask our leaders and our people to budget to take someone out to lunch once a month or every 6 weeks. And so I'm just going to challenge you right now, based on what I heard the Spirit of God say, I know that's one thing we can do, that you can go back there with Craig and whoever and whatever team people are back there with, and people that are getting saved, or just get with the bus captains and just say, you know what, and you be led. You know what I want to tell you? Once a month, if each of us just once a month just reached out to one of these people that are touched. And again, man, Spirit of God speaking to me, one of these people, like, we have to be careful, like, they're not our people. They're our people. But one of these that gets saved and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to make myself available to disciple this person. I'm not only going to go out there, but I'm also going to step into their, I'm going to be available to step into their lives. Man, is that awesome or what? Take them out to lunch, guys. You know, go to their home. You know, go take them to buy them some clothes or you know, whatever. Believe God. Go to a garage sale or something and get them some clothes. I don't know, but something. Help them find a job. Listen, guys, we got to go to the next step here. Okay, look, I'm not making light of anything that's happening, but I'm telling you, we just heard from the Lord about the next step for our church is we've got to make these people, the people that we're reaching, feel like they're part of the family too. They're just as much a part of the family as any of us are. Isn't that true? And by the way, you know, where were some of us? Yeah, we were kind of out there, right? Any of you ever been out there? Yeah, I was way out there, and man, God brought us in. Well, look, we've got to make people that are coming to Jesus. We got to make them feel welcome, and the best way to do it is that we just step up and do it. Man, it's not enough, guys, to clap. It's what we've got to do is we've got to make room in our hearts. Okay, I mean, I'm telling you, this was a word from heaven for this church right now. Amen. Did you have something to add to it, Charlie? This is a word, guys. So I'm just asking. I'm going to ask with Glenn. Glenn, come back up here. I'm just going to ask him to pray for us, but before you do, I just want to know if you're available in whatever God tells you to do. I'm not asking you to do anything He doesn't lead you to do, but I'm asking you if you're available. If you're available, if you're part of the family, Like I said, I know the Spirit of God, and I know the Spirit of prophecy, and I know what he's speaking to this body right now. And I'm sure that if Pastor were here, he would be saying the same thing, that this is not something we can just clap our hands and move on and praise God and isn't that good? Wouldn't that be awesome? No, that's not enough. It's this morning. It's will we do it? Will we make ourselves available? Will you make room in your heart for one person to feel like they're welcome in the family? Yeah. And the Lord will show you who. And look, I'm going to still go out and reach the multitudes, but I'm talking about, you know, I can't disciple, you know, 50 people, but I can sure disciple one. And he's, listen, I don't know if I could stand up on the pew and jump and shout and tell you this is Jesus. If this is Jesus walking into this body, and if he stood right up here and were talking to us, oh, that was Jesus, Glenn. If you'll just take your place, whatever your part is, and make yourself available to make someone who's been coming to the church or new to the church or someone that's been saved, and you're just willing to let the Lord lead you, to take them out to dinner, however he leads you, help them get a job, but to climb into someone's life. And yeah, it may be a little messy. I'll tell you the story, maybe tell you a story of Billy in a minute, but I mean, we ran into a guy like that, and that was messy. He was a drug addict, and anyway, and God just totally delivered him. Well, this is the question. Will you? Are you part of the body? Will you make yourself available? If you will, just stand up. Just stand up right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, Jesus loves people. He loves the people we're reaching. Amen. He loves the people we're reaching. He loves them. And he needs you. He needs you to go another step. To reach out to them. God's going to show you who. But you got to get in the mix. Maybe some of you, part of it is, you may just need to get on the bus to see who your disciple is. I don't know what it is and how he's going to lead you. But it's not just enough to come to church on Sunday morning. This is a word from heaven. But there are people who really need us to climb into their lives and to make them feel a part of this family. Yeah? Praise God. Just say, Lord, I'm available. I make room in my heart for people that you love that need to be discipled. You need me to disciple them, and I'm available. Just pray over them, Glenn, or speak or preach or whatever you want to do, man.
I would actually like to share just one more thing. You know, if you think about it, many of us, maybe most of us in this room, if we think back to the times when we were babies in the Lord and when we were just really coming into fellowship with Christ, especially maybe those of in the room that maybe weren't raised from an early age in the faith, you know, so much of your growth probably took place around somebody's dinner table. Or at Waffle House after the service late at night, when somebody took the time to just sit across the table and just share with you and just disciple you. And just, it happens in community. It happens when we connect. And the Lord has also been showing me this too, for whatever this is worth. You know, when our hearts are broken for the lost and for the hurting and for the desperate. We don't have time for bad attitudes, or we don't have time to, you know, we don't have time to talk bad about people or to gossip or to be angry because somebody did this or somebody did that or they're not doing it exactly the way I wish they'd. If our hearts are broken for the people that God is placing right in our laps, we just don't have time for that stuff. We don't have time for it. We've got needs to meet. And when the Lord drops a need in our lap and drops people in our path that have a need, as they're our brothers and sisters in Christ, if it's within our power to meet that need, we just need to meet the need. And when we just go around doing that, that's church. That's what they did in the early church. If you think about it, you can go back and look at the book of Acts and just even look at the red letter. Look at Jesus. Man, when he would stand in front of people and he would talk, he'd talk to 5,000 people. I guarantee you it was messy. Babies were crying. People were hungry. You know, whatever the equivalent is of your iPod, you know, ears, and you know, and your pants down to here, whatever the equivalent, I guarantee you that was going on during that time of ministry. And it didn't rattle him. He just continued to reach out to people and just continued to love people and just told them the truth. He told them about a different way of living. He talked about that kingdom of God. You know, how many times did Jesus say that? You know, you've kind of thought it's been like this all along, but I tell you, the kingdom of God is like this. Give to everyone who asks of you. Hey, when somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Things that are backwards to us, but it was things where he's saying, look, reach out and connect with people and love people. And that's what he wants us to do. I just feel like when we're obsessed with that, then we won't have time for all the, you know, all the just the junk, the stuff that just stresses people out and gives people bad attitudes or whatever. Who needs that? Who needs that? And so I just feel like maybe as a body, we need to just make sure that our hearts are broken for people that are hurting. Because when we're in that place, when we're in that broken place, that's when we're really going to begin to see community take place. And numbers are important. Obviously, somebody was counting. You know, 5,000 were added to the church that day in Acts. Somebody was counting. That's important. But more important than numbers, more important than even patting ourselves on the back for what we're doing, is just us just realizing, hey, we're just meeting the needs of people. We're just going where they are, and we're just meeting their needs. So I don't know. I just want to encourage us to just, I don't know. Some time ago, the Lord, I felt like, also gave me another word that I never delivered. I had an opportunity, I'll be honest with you, a few weeks ago when you were here. I think you might have even said, Glenn, do you have something? Or, I don't know, you said something to me. And I knew I should have, but I didn't. But I'll say it now. I felt like the Holy Spirit said this. Calvary Cathedral International, we need to all just take a big old giant collective deep breath. And we need to exhale. And we just need to say, everything is great. Everything is fine. All is well. Fresh faces, new people, life, excitement. Hurting people are coming through our doors and just coming right up to us. And we have this opportunity to take this deep breath and just say, everything's okay. All is well. The Lord is in control. Everything's fine. Look around and let's remember and just notice all the really awesome things that are going on. And let's just get in it. Just get in that and just ask the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as asking the Holy Spirit. I did it just a couple of weeks ago on the way to church. I just specifically asked the Holy Spirit, connect me with people. I want to know people's names. People that otherwise probably I would never associate with, but I want to know their names. Connect me with those people. Let me take them to lunch. Let me just bless them and just talk to them and just be their friend. When they're your friends, it's not a handout. It's not, they're just friends. They're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just feel like that's the community the Lord wants us to have. And all these new people that are coming in, it's exciting. And like you've been saying, Pastor, if everybody that's standing up just decided, I'm going to connect. I'm going to find somebody to connect with, and I'm going to invite them in my house, or I'm going to take them to lunch, or I'm going to, just good things, I think, will happen.
You know, just what you said, Glenn, it was, you know, they're more than a number. They're a they have a name. And I was just in the restroom this morning and met somebody, and I just went up and, you know, I mean, so touched him that I would, you know, here I've got a suit and a tie on, and he was a mess with what he was wearing, but it's like that somebody took the time to place value and wanted to know his name. Yeah. Each of us has a name.
Yeah, and you know, I think also, I think it's been really important to, if we see the bigger picture, we see what the Lord is doing, and if we see the fact that people that are hurting or people that are different, maybe people that are unchurched, people that don't really get all this, they're coming to us, and this is exactly where they need to be. And like when you see, like I saw, you know, I've seen some on Sunday mornings, some guys back that are just sound asleep. I mean, sawing logs. I think they probably came from maybe the Lancaster pickup over at the homeless shelter or whatever. And just sawing logs. I mean, sound asleep. But you know, that's okay. I'm okay with that. They're in church. Maybe they came just for the food. Praise God, we get to give them some food. You know, hey, you know, we've got food. They don't have food. You know, we're just going to give to everyone who asks it. There's no reason to look at that and, you know what I mean, and think that it's anything different other than we just, whatever people's needs are, that's where we're just going to meet them. So,
we'll just pray over us because we, you know, we want. Are you guys hearing God in this? Man, I'm telling you, this is Jesus' heart, guys. This is his heart for us. And just pray for us, just grace that we'll step in this and that we'll walk in this and that it'll be intentional with us, Glenn, that we as a body are not going to treat them. And I don't think we've been doing that in a condescending or disparaging way, but where still it's like it's us and them. Mm-hmm. And it can't be that anymore. Each one has a name. Each one is significant. And they're all worthy of us connecting with them, amen. And that we would receive that grace to connect with even if it's just one, that's all right. But that's better than none. Mm-hmm. Just look at this right here. This group of people, of each of us, on every Sunday morning would connect with someone, and take some time with those people and talk to them, and at least once a month take someone out to lunch, but maybe you could do it more. I don't know what your family budget is, but boy, if we'll start and listen to the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, the people that are on the outside are going to feel part of the family. It's awesome. Pray for us.
Lord, we just come to you right now. We're so thankful for the opportunity to just be able to serve you. Father, we want to be one of those that you talked about in Scripture where when you were hungry, we gave you something to eat. When you were thirsty, we gave you something to drink. When you were naked, we clothed you. When you were in prison, we visited you. Father, we pray that you would help us just to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. Let's just love God and love people and follow Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would just, I don't know, you would just open our eyes just to understand the simplicity once again of the gospel. That church is about coming together in community and being a blessing. It's about going out and doing what we're doing, compelling people to come in. And then when they come through our doors, we make them welcome and we begin to disciple them and we begin to know their names. We begin to have them over to our house. We begin to take them to lunch. I pray, Lord, that you would just put it in our hearts to just begin to reach out to people and to love people. Lord, we know that you extended grace to us even when we were a mess. And Lord, help us to extend grace to others even if they're a mess. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be broken for the hurting and for the desperate and for the lost. And as a result, Lord, we won't have time to be negative or to get a bad attitude. We're just going to simply follow you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just break our hearts for the hurting people in our city and all around us. and help us to reach out to them and bring love and acceptance and grace and mercy. Father, even if it's messy, thank you, Lord, for that motivation. And by your Holy Spirit, you're going to give us that opportunity to connect us with people, to know who they are, know their names, specific names. I thank you, Lord, that you're just going to help us move into this next phase. And we're so grateful and thankful for the opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for the 25,000 people who have come to know you and who have been faced with Jesus Christ just right in their face. And they've chosen to believe in you and accept you. And sure, all 25,000 of them aren't here in the church, but some of them are. And I just pray that you would just help us to connect with them and do our part. We thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Wow. Wow, guys. That's awesome. I mean, I'm telling you, Jesus' heart is touched with this. I mean, I feel the compassion of the Savior just moved. Just moved towards someone who just needs one of us to know their name. That we'd know their name. That we'd know their name. David, that we'd know their name. Oh, Jesus. Father, we yield ourselves to you. This is not about us, Lord. It's about you. And we receive that word, Father. We repent for attitudes and getting focused on stuff and other things. And, Lord, it's just about the people that you're helping us to reach. And, Lord, we're all you've got. We're your plan. And the people you're bringing in need us to be Jesus with skin on. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And that's exactly what we're going to be. Come on, church. We just declare to him, Lord, that I'm accepting this assignment. I accept it, Lord. I accept it. I'm walking in it. In Jesus' name, I'm gonna reach out to someone Sunday morning. I'm gonna let them know. I'm gonna introduce myself. I'm gonna name their name. I'm gonna remember their name. They're not gonna be nameless faces. There's no nameless faces. Jesus, you know each one by name. You know each one by name. Jesus, you know each one by name. And you've sent them here. And Lord, they're not going to be nameless people to us. They're not. Just say they're not. They're not going to be nameless anymore to us. We're going to know their names. I may not be able to know all of them, but I'm going to know some of them. Amen. Father, we accept this assignment. We know this is you. You're speaking, Father, and we're just saying, yes, Lord. You change the world with 120. There's more than that here. And Lord, you can do that through us. Hallelujah. Man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Did you want to say something, Dr. Stumbo? Go ahead. Y'all can be seated.
A while back, I became a little bit concerned about all the Muslim people that were showing up in the country and all the things that they were doing in the mosques that they were building and so forth. And I went to the Lord and I prayed about that. And I said, Lord, what about this, all these Muslim people coming in? And the Lord spoke to me distinctly, and he said, for a couple of centuries now, you've been sending missionaries to the overseas fields. He said, in this day and time, I am sending the mission fields to you. He said, these Muslim people and of other faiths, too, and of other nationalities also, he said, I died for them just like I died for you. And he said, they're precious in my sight. He said, now they're next door to you. And he said, it's time for you to get busy.
Amen. Good word. Praise God. Whew. Man. Yes, ma'am. come on up. Powerful. It's powerful. Just grab it.
There it is. This is a word that the Lord...